Praise the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you because we believe, according to your word, you have inhabited our praises.
Yes, Lord.
And so we thank you for the testimony our brother is giving. I mean, always, whatever we touch, wherever we go, stand with you always to the end of the age, or the end of the world. We can count on it. We bless your glorious name, Father. Now, time to just read your word at this hour. Father, in the almighty name of the Lord Jesus, we know that we are not sufficient of ourselves to say anything of ourselves,
yes,
or to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is God.
Amen.
So we're just relying upon you to help us as we read your word this morning, to give us an understanding, or a better understanding. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 8. Not the good prophetic as such, but just want to pull it one or two verses out of Daniel 8, verse 11 to 13. Yea, here is the chapter on the little horn and the eagle, really, you know. So I'm not going to go prophetic on this thing, just want to pull out a verse here to get to my subject by the grace of God. Daniel 8:11. Yea, the little horn, or Antichrist, that who he is, you know, magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. And the place of his sanctuary was cut down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which speak, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So anyway, so like I'm saying, I'm not going to be talking about prophecy as all this morning. The point is that the marginal reference, the marginal reference explains that in the original Hebrew, that word called saint in the 13th verse is actually parmoni. That word is in the Hebrew, you know, parmoni, which means the number of secrets, or if you like, the wonderful number. That word imagine says, you know, parmoni, that word, why it called saint, they are the imagine, you know, says it's wonderful number. Or the, you know, or the number of secrets. So my point is this. This, among other things, indicates the importance that numbers have in the plan of God. Amen?
Amen.
So numbers have a lot of plan, a place in the plan of the Almighty God. So this morning I want to talk about the meaning of Bible numbers. Where, it's not the first time we're talking about it here. And so many books, actually, you know, have been written on the subject of numbers in scriptures from ancient times, actually, so that they are significant and meaning numbers in the Bible have been practically established. The meaning of the numbers covers various subjects in the Bible, from the Lord himself, you know, numbers that talk about God and so on, even the world. There are certain of them, you know, that certain numbers that talk about the world, man himself, then redemption, then rebellion, judgment, I can name a few that are represented by numbers in the Bible and so forth. So, and generally it is agreed among leading scholars of the Bible that the subject of numbers in scripture is inexhaustible, really. Anyone, I'm coming back again to it after how many years, we've been talking about this many times in the past. I mean, it's so vast a subject It's almost inexhaustible and so on. So we truly this morning, by the grace of God, we limit our discussion to those numbers that relate to God and his children. Praise the Lord. So otherwise, we're going to take, books have been written and so on about this subject, and they're so diverse. So even this subset of talking about the numbers are talking about the Lord and God's children, it's even almost inexhaustible. You can go in many different directions with it. We just let the Holy Ghost guide us how much we go into each of these things this morning by the grace of God. So, beginning, number one is the number of God. The number one is the symbol of unity. It is the ordinal number of primacy. By that I mean first place in importance or rank. Being indivisible, one is made up of no other number. It is independent of all others, other numbers. And it is the source of all other numbers. That speaks a volume, right? Pointing to something, right? Important. So God is independent of all. He is the source of all. Thus, Moses told the children of Israel, in Deuteronomy 6:4, Yah, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord our God, he is one Lord. Even when these Christ came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of them asked the Lord Jesus, which is the first commandment? The Lord told him in Mark 12:29, and Jesus answered him. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Amen. He is the God of the prophets, right? Whatever Moses said was inspired by the Holy Ghost, right? So the Lord himself is here, so he said the same thing. So God cannot be divided, proving the Trinitarian, who said there's no such a thing as a Trinity in the Bible, actually. So we put them wrong. And they always say, you can't cut God into three and give it to the Jew. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's why this scripture right there, And the three elect, too, you can't put God into three. The rather, there is triunity of God. Triune, not trinity, really, So anyway, we get to that one somewhere down the road, by God's grace. So, as one is the beginning, so God is the beginning. Even right at the opening of the Bible, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. That's how we begin the Bible, right? God is the highest. Therefore, the angels sang at the birth of Christ in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, good will toward all men. Praise the Lord. He is the highest. Another one. It's the most high God. The primacy of God is the great fact of the universe, really. It is the supreme revelation of the scripture. Let's get what Isaiah said in two places. Isaiah 44 verse 6. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. Isaiah 43 verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, said the Lord. And my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, verse 11, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Praise the Lord. He is the highest and he is the almighty God. So there is no trinity anywhere. He is a triune God. So God is first in priority. In rank, God is first. In power, in a supremacy. Any wonder when he came here, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Praise the Lord. That's right. So, it's first in priority, first in rank, in power, and supremacy. Christ, the brightness of God's glory, as the Bible tells us, and the express image of his person. Hebrews 1:3 says that. He's spoken of many places in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:11 and 1:17, towards the end, as the first and the last. So when I started talking about the same Christ, right? Is the first and the last. So God is a symbol, one is a symbol of the Almighty God, creator of the universe. So tonight, like I said this morning, I'll be taking this one, the number that talk about God and the elect, you know, this morning. There are other numbers, like 9 means judgment, 6 means the number of man, 4 means the number of the world, but I'm going to skip all those ones, you know, just the ones that pertain to the Lord, like I begin with 1, the Almighty God, and then the elect. So I'm going to jump to number 3. 3 means divine protection, divine perfection. There must be 3 lines to form a geometrical figure. There must be 3 surfaces to form a solid. So 3 is the number of a cube or solid. In other words, there is a number of the number of a cube or solid. Meaning 3 it is, and so on. Because only in 3 dimensions does an object become fully formed in space, having volume and substance. It marks the transition from flatness to reality. 3 signifies that which is solid, complete, and entire. God's 3 great attributes are omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Omniscience, or all knowing. Omnipresence is present everywhere. In all the, I don't care how many galaxies he has there, and they are innumerable, right? It's equally present everywhere. But in him does all things consist. Praise the Lord. All the Bible says, and some of that, you know. So that's no other being had that kind of attributes that the Lord had. Not even one of them, really. No one is omnipresent, only God. Praise the Lord. He is the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. So we see right there. There are 3 great divisions in time: past, present, and future. There are 3 persons in grammar expressing how we relate to each other. The first person, I or we, right? According to grammatical, you know, in grammar. Second person, you. And the third person, he, she, or they. Just how the 3 just in different dimensions and so forth. There are 3 kingdoms in which matter is classified: mineral, vegetable, and animal. The number 3 is associated with the triunity of God. I don't use trinity, right? Triunity of God, meaning Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, right? In 1 John 5:7, for there are 3 that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are 1. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
His signature there and so on. Meaning the Word, in the beginning was the Word, right? John 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is just the same one person, not 3 persons. Praise the Lord. See? So we see. So now, and 3 may therefore be said to be the number of deity or divine perfection. Jump to 5. Now we are picking the number that pertain to the Lord and then to the elect, right? We're going to skip all the other ones, like 6, number of man, 4, the number of the world. I'm going to do that one. Number 5, the number of redemption. The creation marred by sin and the fall is represented by the number 4. So I won't talk about that. But hence, creation must be redeemed. And when redemption is added to the 4 of creation, we get 5, right? So concerning the manner in which the children of Israel went out of, talking about 5 redemption, right? Let's see different viewpoint of that. Concerning the manner in which the children of Israel went out of Egypt. We are told in Exodus 13 verse 18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed, mark that word, harnessed, out of the land of Egypt. So in the King James Version margin of that verse, the word harnessed is noted as by five in rank. That's what it means. By five in rank. Describing the manner or formation in which the Israelites marched out of Egypt. They went out by the five in a rank. So that margin says and so on. See, redemption from Egypt, from slavery, right? Went out in rank of five and so on. Five means of many things, redemption. One of the promises God gave to the children of Israel is stated in Leviticus 26, verse 8. And five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. It was not that five should chase 100, not saying that, but five of you, that is, five of those that are redeemed, what he's talking about, right there, you know, and some of that, you know. So, the children of Israel, that's one way, I mean, redemption, right? So, five of you, five of the redeemed, you know, that's the real full translation of what it means, that 26 of Leviticus verse 8 and so forth. The children of Israel were in sore distress in order to show redemption represented by five. Even this, what we are talking about, each number, they are not exhaustive. Praise the Lord. So there may be other things you have known about them. They're not all, I'm saying, they're not exhaustive and so on. The children of Israel were in some distress because of the giant Goliath or the Philistines, who was mocking and threatening them. We all know the Bible story and so on. Then took David five smooth stones, went against the giant, and slew him. And in some places, I read the Bible in one, I skip it. 1 Samuel 17:40. And he took his staff, meaning David, in his arm, and chose five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. You know the rest of the story, right? Praise the Lord. But the thing is, five smooth stones. We're talking about five being, type of, you know, redemptive number for redemption and so on. So these five, we can now extrapolate why, but these five stones that he used, you know, these five stones could be said to be a type of the fivefold ministry Christ gave to the redeemed body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Ephesians 4, let's read that scripture there. So you see, many things in the Old Testament, they are just a type of what is happening in the New Testament, actually, you know. That pattern holds throughout the Bible. Ephesians 4, the five ministry that gives and so on, 4:7 of Ephesians. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Praise the Lord. And the verse I'm going to is verse 11. And he gave some apostles, you know, there are five of them, apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. So even that thing, I mean, you know, five ministries that give, that God gave to the church, and things like that, you know, I mean, redemptive number number five, and so on. Five, or its multiples, you know, is the all-pervading number in the tabernacle in the wilderness. That tabernacle, the measurement, and so on, five or multiple of it is the pervading number in there. Then it just tell you the outer court. You don't have to go to this verses. Exodus 27, verses 9 to 8. The outer court is 100 by 50 by 5. You see that number 5 all over there? 100 is multiple of, you know, 5, 50 and so on. Even the altar in Exodus 27, verse 1, is 5 by 5 by 3. See? 5 pervading the tabernacle in the wilderness. More, the pillars of it, 20 of Exodus 37, there are 5 pillars. Are these just mistakes? The bars and the bolts, Exodus 36, 30 to 32, there are 5 bars on each side. The curtains, Exodus 26, verses 3 and 9, 2 sets of 5. The anointing oil, 30 of Exodus 23 to 25, there are 500 and 250 shekels, all multiples of 5. The sockets, Exodus 38 by 27, there are 100 sockets there, all multiple of 5, right? It's pervasive throughout the tabernacle in the wilderness. Even the holy place, 26 of Exodus 33, is 10 and 20 cubits. I just stopped right there, you see? So what I'm saying here, that's redemptive number 5. I mean, it's an all-pervading number in the tabernacle in the wilderness. The holy anointing oil was of 5 parts, and the incense was composed of 5 parts. We can read that also quickly in Exodus 30 verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee, number 1, sweet spices, number 2, stacks, whatever that is, number 3, onycha, I don't know what that is, number 3, and pobanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, number 5, of each shall there be a like weight. So you see, 5, but basically even the anointing oil, you know, there are no many redemptive number and so on. The Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to the world in the 5th millennium, number 5, right? Redeemer, redemption number, number 5 is redemption, right? Even the Redeemer came in the 5th millennium. We know from Adam to Christ is 4,000 years. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So at the beginning of the 5th millennia, the Redeemer came. Number 5. See? He came. So we saw that in the Bible and so forth. So 5 clearly is a number associated with redemption. Again, like, let me say that is not exhaustive, but enough to just give us an eye-opening and so on. This kind of a thing, maybe study the Bible and so on, can just enjoy it. I mean, the magnificence of the Lord and the wisdom of God in His word. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what we are doing here, and so on, that, you know. Now, number 7 means spiritual perfection. 7 is a number that occupies a very, very large place in the scriptures. It is a cardinal number of spiritual perfection. It occurs so many times and in so many ways in the scriptures that a large volume of book could be written, you know, and you won't exhaust it, you know, the subject. So the following occurrences are to just whet our appetite. You can't exhaust it. 7 occurs, people search it out, 7 occurs 287 times in the Bible. That 287 itself is 7 times 41. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Mathematics is the greatest mathematician in the whole world, amen. God is the greatest mathematician in the whole world. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so, you know, so more about 7. So we see right there, you know, so 7th, the word 7th occurs 98 times in the Bible. And that 98 itself is 7 times 14. The number 7. Praise the Lord. The word 7-fold occurs 7 times. Now, in Isaiah 11:2, we are told the sevenfold aspect of the Spirit. Devil 2 of Isaiah says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, what is the 17th now? Number 2. And the Spirit of the Lord, number 1, shall rest upon him. Number 2, the Spirit of wisdom. Number 3, understanding. Number 4, the Spirit of counsel and might. No, and then the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Praise the Lord. All over the Bible, just my day by 7 and some like that, you know. I just pick some of them up there. They are so that I'm almost inexhaustible as some of that, you know. It is remarkable that many of the scriptures are recorded even in 7 parts. I will just read them because this is just, I can't go through them. Number 1, for example, there are 7 promises to the overcomers in each church age. There is a promise, right? You that overcome it, you that overcome it. There are 7 of them, right? To the overcomers and some of that. In the Revelation chapter 2 to 3, will tell us that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in their major divisions each form 21 sets of 7s. They have set it out, and I don't have time to be divided that to what will be all summoned by themselves, each of those sets and some of that, you know. There are 21 times 7 promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. They find it out. 21 times 7 promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 21 times 7 sayings concerning salvation. There are 21 times 7 commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we start it all out and we just use them, you know what I mean? So more of that. There are 21 times 7 statements of Christ concerning sin. And you know what? Each subgroup of the 21 includes 7 related sins. How can you see how many 7 can that be in the Bible like that? For example, there are 7 last sins of Christ on the cross. It's all marked out. if I go and name them, then it takes too much time and so on. But there are 7 of them on the cross, as he said. In the book of Revelation, there are 7 churches. We know that. 7 messengers, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials, 7 judgments, 7 thunders, and 7 new things. Bible says they are there. So just leave the number 7, the idea, just number 8 now. Talking about the number that pertains to the Lord himself, or to his elect, to the redeemed, and so on. Number 8, resurrection, the beginning of new series, new creation. Our 7 marks completion in nature. So 8 is a new beginning. The number 8 in scripture represents new things, or new beginnings rather. It means resurrection and eternal life. 8 notes complete the octave. If you are a musician, we have one here, right? You can help us. Praise the Lord. Is that right, brother? 8 notes complete an octave. The last note marks the beginning of a new octave. The Lord Jesus Christ arose on the first day of the week, also called the 8th day. Talking about 8 meaning resurrection, new beginning, a new series, and so on. That, you know. First day of the week, yes, also called the 8th day, when the Lord rose from the dead. In 1 Peter 3:20, 8 souls were saved in the ark, you all know that, which were referred to as a type of baptism and the resurrection. That is the 1 Peter 3:20. So how number 8 can represent resurrection? It can mean new beginnings, new series, new creation, and something like that, you know. Circumcision was on the 8th day. Why? Because it foreshadowed the circumcision of the heart. Talk about in Colossians 2:11. In whom also we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So it happens on the 8th day in the Hebrew, whatever, in the circumcision, it's on the 8th day, right? So there are I mean, there were 8 individual resurrections mentioned in the Bible, actually, not counting that of Christ and of the saints. So there are 8 individual resurrections, talking about 8 being representing resurrection among many things and so on. There are 8 of them, not counting that of Christ and the saints. Let's quickly run through them. I won't read the Bible. I can just name them. We all know this Bible. The widow of Zarephath, Elijah the prophet. We know that. Praise the Lord. The Shunammite woman under Elisha's ministry. Praise the Lord. Even Elisha again, when he was dead, a dead man happened to touch him in the sepulchre. The man rose up, right? Praise the Lord. Talking about 8, how to do resurrection, right? You know, 8 of them in the New Testament, in the Bible and so on. That's 3 already, right? Then there are 3 of them in the Gospels. So 3 in the Old, 3 in the Gospels. We see the Jairus' daughter was raised by the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Jairus' daughter. The widow of Nain, son, the only son she had, right? Died, right? The Lord raised him up, right? And Lazarus, we all know that one. Praise the Lord. So 3 in the Old, 3 in the New. In the book of Acts, there are 2 of them. Dorcas, also known as Tabitha, brother Peter. You know how they have faith in the early church? I think he was in Joppa and so on. And then this sister just passed away. Dorcas was her name. And she did good work and so forth. And they had faith in her to go and get brother Peter. He did not wash her off and so forth. Brother Peter, he just went there, knelt down, and presented her alive. Amen. Amen. He's been with the Lord in many of the days of the dead. Praise God. So, praise God. Anyway, so we see that's true in the book of Acts. Of course, Eutychus, Acts 20, praise the Lord. Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul and so on the first day of the week, as they were going together to break bread, he spoke far to midnight and so on. And this brother Eutychus fell for the third loft, and they picked him up dead. But Apostle said, don't worry about him. Went there and just brought him alive again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there are 8 resurrections, you know, 3 in the Old, 3 in the Gospels, 2 in the book of Acts. We don't count that of the Lord at the saints. So resurrection number 8, right? You know, what we typify that as well, that, you know. So, and let me see what I got to ask more. So, the transfiguration, more of this, the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ took place on the 8th day. What do you mean 8th day? 8th day after Peter made that great confession. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? Oh, they say, some say you are Elijah, or one prophet and so on. But you, my disciple, what do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord said, oh, Simon, the flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Praise the Lord. So, in Luke 9:28, after that statement, the Lord said, and it came to pass about 8 days after that great confession, he took them, Peter and John and James, and went up into the mountain to pray and so forth. So it happened on the 8th day after that great confession that Peter made and so on. There were 8 miracles of Elijah before he was translated. I can't go and name all of them, but they counted them right. Of course, Elisha asked for and received a double portion, right? And there were 16 miracles under his ministry. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Including the one where his dead body was, raised the other, you know, that man up and so on, that, you know. So, 8, among other things, tied to resurrection and things like that. Now, one is this. The ancients, they practiced a biblical numerics. Or if you know grammar enough, they called it, gematria. If you want to, I don't know if I correct it, that's what so the ancients, they practiced biblical numerics or gematria, where letters are assigned to numerical values. Letters assigned numerical values. You know, even like in the Hebrew language and the Greek. So they assign number to each individual letter of a word. So, it turned out that the name of our Lord Jesus, the name Jesus, as it appears in the Greek version, you know, or the Testament and so on, the name Jesus, that name as appear in the Greek, if you add the number associated, the numeric associated to each of that letter, they all came to 888. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, and that's there to see. So, the number 8 in Scripture represents new beginning, resurrection, and eternal life. Any wonder 888? Triple 8 means the perfection of resurrection and the new beginning, perfectly fitting even the name Jesus, who brought us eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see number 8 in there. So we'll jump to number 10. Number 10 is the ordinal number of completion. The numbers 1 to 10 complete the digits and begin a new series. The genealogy of Noah completed the antediluvian age in the 10th generation. That is all in Genesis chapter 5. I will read the generation to you. There are 10 of them. From Adam, you have Seth, Enoch, or Enos. Then there is Kenan. That is in Genesis 5, 12 to 14. But that's okay. Then you have Mahalalel. Then you have Jared. You have Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. So there are 10 of them. So the generation of Noah completed the antediluvian age in the 10th generation. 10 in completion and some of that, you know. So we see that in the Bible. There were 10 commandments in the Decalogue. Of course, the 10 commandments, right? There were 10 plagues sent upon Egypt in the days of Moses. There were 10 rebellions. 10 rebellions in the, you know, in the wilderness, that we can read in Numbers 14:22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. So 10 times of temptation, I mean they tempt the Lord and so on, that you know. So we see the Antichrist empire will comprise of 10 kingdoms, beginning from Daniel chapter 2, right? The 10 tools of iron and clay, you know, so in the Western Empire, the Western Empire, and so on, 10 of them will make the Antichrist, you know, system in this age. In the parable of our Lord, in Matthew 25, there were 10 virgins. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
See? And that all, I mean, they represent the evangelical church, which looks for the return of our Christ. And we have a very awful statistics in there. Only 5 were ready. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Terrible statistics. And so that's why we always pray all the time. Like he told us to pray in Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. And not because the Lord didn't like those who are going to go to the tribulation. Verse 10 of Matthew 25 says, because they were not ready. It's that simple. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's why they were left behind and so forth. So we see right here. So and all right. So we go through that. So the 10 virgins. Deuteronomy 23:3. Talking about 10 generation and so on. Let me read that one. And an Amorite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. You see? Generation means completion. You know, we are seeing different versions right now and so on like that, you know. How is it? Our numeric system is a series of tens, right? Even look at your body. You got 10 fingers and 10 toes. Praise the Lord. 10 is completion among many other things. This just working with the Bible and just enjoy the manifold wisdom of God. You know, do you know that even in the Bible, there is a chapter called Numbers, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. To show you that God has numbers in his plan of, in his final plan. Call it Numbers. And it's all full of numbers, right? You know, in the book of Numbers as well. Now, let's jump to number 12 now. I'm going to spend too much time here this morning. Number 12, you know, I say I'm going to be jumping the number that pertains to the Lord himself or to the elect. Number 10 and number 12 now. Meaning divine government. 12 is the number of government. 12 or its number of multiples are found in all that has to do with ruling or rule. For example, the sun rules the day. We know that it's there right now, it's doing its job. Praise the Lord. And of course, when the night comes, the moon, then they rule the night, because number 12 has divine, it's divine government, right? So ruling. Now, why do we talk about sun and moon, and then and 12 number? So both the sun and the moon pass through 360 degrees of circumference, and 360 is 12 times 30. What I mean is this. So in 1 month, the moon go around the earth, right? That's like a circumference of 360 degrees, right? Any circle and so on. Or although it's simplistic, but it's almost a circle, right? 360 degrees and so on. And the sun itself, it takes 360 degrees circumference, in a year, right? The sun actually not is moving, but what we think is the apparent moving. You see the sun, you see the earth moving, right? But we call it the sun move, the sun go down, the sun go up, and so on. So 360 circumference. So in 1 year, where the sun was this time last year, it equals to the same thing after 1 year. So anyway, 360 meaning 12 times 30. So both of them do the same thing. For the moon, is 30 days or 27 days around the earth, and then the sun, 1 year, and so on. So anyway, 360 having 12 times 30. There were 12 patriarchs from Shem, the son of Noah, right, to Jacob. There are 12 of them. Talking about 12 being government and rulership, right? So there were 12 patriarchs from Shem to Jacob. There were 12 patriarchs in Jacob's family, right? From this come the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 judges in Israel. There were 12 apostles of Paul, we know that, who during the coming age will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Talking about the 12 many divine governments, right? That one we can read, in Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, the Lord was talking and so on. Peter said, we have left everything and we have followed you and so on like that, So what shall we have and so on? Anyway, the Lord said in Matthew 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So 12 has to do with rulership, right? Among many things, rulership and so on like that, So anyway, and 12 legions of angels signify the perfection of angelic powers. Remember, at the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, where one of the disciples pulled out the sword and cut off the ear of the one of Marcus, his sword and so on, or the high priest and so forth. The Lord said, put back your sword in into your shield. He that put out the sword will die by the sword and so on like that, Anyway, so the thing is this, talking about the legions of angels. The Lord said in Matthew 23, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Number 12, right? So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. You don't need to fight for me. I can command, my Father can send me 12 legions of angels, right? And take care of this thing. But if that happens, how shall the scripture be fulfilled? Praise the Lord. That does it must be, Now, in the New Jerusalem, the number 12 is seen as the dominant number right there. There are 12 foundations, and each of the foundations has the name of the apostles, right? There are 12 gates, each of them having the name of the 12 patriarchs, on the children of Israel, right? Praise the Lord. So 12, all over the place, in the New Jerusalem. And so Revelation 21 tells us all of those. Even the measurement of the New Jerusalem is 12,000 fathoms. Praise the Lord. All this is just the manifold wisdom of God and so on, for our enjoyment to see the wisdom of the Almighty God and so on. What do we do that 12? You know, I'm going to 15. 15 also means resurrection, among many things. 15 being a multiple of the numbers 3 and 5, it partakes of the significance of both of them. 5 is the number of redemption, we talk about that, and 3 of divine perfection, we talk about that. So 15 therefore marks acts wrought by divine grace, and especially of the resurrection or events that relate to resurrection. And what I'm talking about is this. So the ark which preserved the family of Noah was born by the flood upwards 15 cubits. That we can read in Genesis 7:20. So 7:20, you say 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Talking of 15 has to do with the resurrection of a tide. We all know the story of Ezekiah, right? Ezekiah's reprieve from death was 15 years, 2 Kings 26. And I will add unto thy date 15 years. So in a way, 15 years is that a resurrection and so on. The Jews in the days of Esther were delivered from death on the 15th day of the month. That we particularly read just one verse in Esther 9:18. But the Jews that were at the Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and what? And on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. So we see that how 15 can mean resurrection if you want to. They would have all been destroyed, right? You know. Now, another thing is about 15 about resurrection. Bethany, the city where the Lord raised up Lazarus from the dead, and where the Lord ascended to heaven, was 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. See, that is in John 11:13. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. So we see that about 15 and so on, tied to resurrection, where the Lord raised up Lazarus and so forth. We all know that Apostle Paul journeyed to Rome, well, with great hazard, right? And the ship anchored safely in 15 furlongs of water, you know, and as it had gone through a tempest in which its passengers had disappeared. You can see that in Acts 27:28. He said, and sounded, meaning their ship, they sounded, right? And they found it 20 fathoms. And when they sounded again, a little further, they sounded again, found it 15 fathoms. So we see that one, you know. So now, we will leave 15 alone and jump to 17, the last one this morning, you know. So just those numbers that touch, attached to the Lord and to the elect. So 17 is the last one I want to talk about here, by the grace of God. Now 17 means perfection and election. That's what it means, you know. 17 stands out in the scripture as a number of special significance. It is the sum of two perfect numbers. 7, the number of divine perfection, and 10, the number of ordinary completion, which already went through, right? 17, it's made up of those two numbers. It is also a prime number or indivisible, being the seventh of the indivisible series. So it is seventh of the indivisible, because you have, you have 1, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, and 17. The seventh one, praise the Lord. 17 is a number associated with divine election. And we know in the case of Joseph, he was chosen of God. We talked about him about 2 Sundays ago, even 2 Sundays in a row, or maybe last Sunday. Who was chosen of God for an important mission was 17 years old when he was sold by his brethren into Egypt. We all know that, praise the Lord. Talking about election and so on at the number 17, you know. Of course, it's his appearance which at the time seemed to Jacob to be an irreparable tragedy, eventually resulted in Joseph being promoted as Lord of all the land of Egypt, in which role he preserved Israel from the consequences of the famine at that time. 17 is a factor of 153, because 153 is 9 times 17. Bible scholars have always maintained there is something significant in that number, from the particular way in which it was introduced in John 21:11, where it reads, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. That the exact number 153 is mentioned, and not a random number like 150 or 120, that will tell us that or indicate that it symbolizes something very important. Another interesting fact is that if you add the numbers from 1 to 17, they all equal 153. If you add number 1, 2 to 17, equal to 153. So the relationship between 17 and 153 is more than coincidental, really. Both numbers speak of divine election. Praise the Lord. We are doing this morning just enjoy, not every time, just a way, just we call this Bible study of some sort, but it's just the manifold wisdom of God in His word and so on. A remarkable fact has been brought out also, that all the individuals that received direct blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ are 153. So many come up by saying, and I believe that 153 has to do with the elect, isn't it? Doesn't mean that there will be only 153, could be many, many multiple of them. Praise the Lord. I just leave it right there. So anyway, and 17 things, last thing I want to talk about. 17 things are listed in Romans 8:35-39 as not being able to separate the elect from God's love. Apostle Paul in Romans 8:35-39 asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, number one, or distress, two, three, or persecution, four, or famine, five, or nakedness, six, or peril, seven, or sword? Then he goes on to explain that he is persuaded that, number eight, now, neither death, number nine, nor life, number 10, nor angels, number 11, nor principalities, number 12, nor powers, number 13, nor things present, number 14, nor things to come, number 15, nor height, number 16, nor death, number 17, nor any other creature. Don't forget in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against our flesh and blood, right? Against principalities, right? Against power, against the death of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But here, we are told, not even the principalities, not even the powers, amen? Praise can separate us from the love of Christ, amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. After all, even Ephesians, we are given authority over them and so on, that you know, they are not at their mercy. So anyway, so we see those things there. 17 things are listed as not being able to separate the elect from God's love. Like I said before, I picked the numbers that relate to the Lord and to the elect. And so I'm going to stop on number 17 and read this exhortation here to us. Yeah, none of this will separate us, but let me read that, Ephesians to us in 2 Peter 1 to finish up this morning to about verse 11. So yeah, none of this can separate us, but we have a part to play too. Number two, verse 2 of 1 Peter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We can take it today and every day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then beside this, giving, here what I'm talking about now, exhortation this morning, and beside this, giving all diligence now. See, we know none of these things we separate from Christ, but we have a part to play now. And beside, giving all diligence out of your faith every day. I put that one there. Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Praise the Lord. This morning, a kind of a knowledge from the word of God as the importance of numbers in the plan of God. Praise the Lord. And out of knowledge, temperance. Avoid your flaring up. My brother was temperance. When they spray her, spray in the classroom, was temperance, right? Praise the Lord. And that temperance is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But in Galatians, I believe 5:22 and so on, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All over the Bible telling us what we should be doing as the elect of God who are walking with God, right? Anyway, temperance. And to temperance, patience. All over the Bible, the Lord told us, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. For the husband man himself, waited patiently for the precious fruit of the earth, until he received the early and the later rain. In your patience, he told us in Luke 21, possess ye your soul. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, very, very important for the end of the age. And don't forget, my family, I always quote Revelation 3:10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. Shall come to try all that dwell upon the face of the earth. So we see that one. Patience. And godliness to it and so on, that you know. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And to brotherly kindness, charity. You know. Now about the three things and so on. Faith, hope, and charity. Confess 13, right? But the greater of all this one is charity. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We can't but remind ourselves enough of these things and all that, you know. Now, for if these things that you name there be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, in verse 10, it says, the rather, brethren, give diligence, that one diligence and so on, to make your calling and election sure. We have read 17 things that cannot separate the elect from the love of God, right? So now, my part, your part, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Praise the Lord. Verse 11 says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord Jesus. That is the last scripture right here this morning. You know, as I just talk about this, you know, numbers in the, you know, in the Bible and so on, the one that relates to the letter of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget that word diligence. We are told in Hebrews 11, he said, the order of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Just enjoy ourselves in the word of God, seeing the manifold wisdom of God, what numbers know, what the role they play in the divine plan of the Almighty. Father, we glorify your name, Lord. As we go this morning, Lord, let us just meditate upon these things and see how much the Lord has loved us. Lord, we glorify your name and we thank you. In Jesus' holy name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We give him all.